when I asked you for a list of questions, you asked about changes I'd observed in South Texas in the last, in through the years. So I'm going to combine my remarks mostly to the fishing community. That's the place I've been familiar with for the last 60 years. And the town itself, it seems to me, has escaped a good many of the problems that have come up in surrounding communities. There's always been a pretty good spirit of cooperation here. They've been willing to learn and grow and change a little bit. Your first query was on race relations. I think we've had a minimum of friction between groups. Population has roughly, for a good many years, been about 50% Anglo, 50% Mexican American, with probably less than 100 Negroes. And their opportunities for education have improved a lot. There's probably still, particularly with the Head Start program, for the small Mexican children that didn't speak English. I was taking school census one time, and the family brought out the card. They were very proud of their child. He'd been going to school 3 years. None of the rest of the family had been to school that long. But when I got his report card to look at, all those 3 years had been spent in the first grade. So you know what kind of a problem he was going to have when he grew up. He was just going to have to be a dropout more than I could. So the Head Start program has improved things for those children, particularly. And we have better school facilities than we have ever had. I don't know whether the youngsters take more interest in it. I see their families take more interest in the school activities. And they do not seem to have much discrimination between the activities they go to either. The next question was on politics. The city government has been commissioned for two commissioners and a mayor through the years. And we have always had men that really took the job seriously and did the best they could for the community. This last administration, I'll admit, is having a problem because there's a clash of personalities. Each one wants to have his own way. But they only stay in 2 years, so there's a chance for change. The big problem I've seen in helping hold elections for a good many years is that people don't value their vote. If they didn't have it, they might think differently, but they just don't come out and vote. I've seen a good many worthwhile things fail simply because people stayed at home and what the election boards used to call the beginners came out and voted because there were some people that were going to vote against everything. They just seemed to have that kind of makeup. The next query was on social activities. Well, in the earlier periods, we had few cars, we had no radio, no television, and phonographs and record players that we had in that day didn't make up for the entertainment that stereo might provide today. And we certainly would have been astounded at the tricks that tape recorders can do and the results of some of them. So we made most of our own entertainment in smaller towns. That was the custom. You were all here, gathered together. During the Depression, for instance, they started a whole group of baseball games, just one group again playing another group, and they passed the hat for a little bit of a money, put a little bit of money in to bring in. Well, some of them got ambitious, to win. They had to win. Well, the game didn't count unless they did win. So they began to import some better players, and the whole thing fell through. Entertaining in the earlier days was likely to be pretty formal as far as our home entertainments went. You pull out the damask tablecloth and cut glass and china. By today, you have a backyard cookout with paper plates and plastic spoons. The next query was on religion. The churches have always played an important part in Bishop. When F.C. Bishop laid out the town, he designated gift lots for both the Methodist and Baptist churches. And the St. Paul Lutheran members turned in and built a church before they built their homes, even. The cooperation between the churches today isn't as good as it was in the earlier period. We have union revivals sometimes under a tent because none of the sanctuaries are large enough to accommodate the crowds that would come. We had union services. Almost always the Thanksgiving service was a union service in which at least three or four of the churches would go together. And in the summertime, the preachers would exchange pulpits, services in one church for one Sunday night and another church for another Sunday night. Well, that's the custom they dropped. And each goes to his own. We have better church plans and better planned programs, but attendance is definitely down in a number of the churches. That might be partly because of weekend activities, and partly I think it's just plain laziness. People like to sleep late on Sunday morning instead of getting up and going to church and Sunday school. And the next question was, male and female relationships. Perhaps these changes are not as noticeable in a small town like this as they would be in a city. Bishop's still practically a man's world in some ways. We have no women as elected officials, either in the city or on the school boards. There are a few women who are on administrative boards in the churches. But it's been a family town and a very good place to raise families, usually. Up until World War II, I would say that the divorces in town could be counted on the fingers of one hand, and the same for pregnant teenagers. With larger population and changed values, that's changed to some extent. I'm not close enough to the young people today to judge the numerous changes that they have made in their lifestyle and their ways. I just see some of the outward part of it. And often that isn't what you want to judge things by. For instance, this long hair fad. And mustaches and sideburns. My grandfather had a beautiful white beard, which he kept immaculately clean. My childhood visions of Santa Claus were always like grandfather. And a relative took me to see Buffalo Bill, where he met Cody one time. And I thought that his almost shoulder length white curls were beautiful. So those outward things are the ones that we do a good deal of, probably too much judging of what the youngsters do. It seems to me that the teenage organizations we have here in Bishop get a lot done, probably a lot more than we did. And basically, I think the young people might be have a better understanding of their own identity and what life and love and marriage might be like than we did. At least they have more freedom in their choices, because we were more or less limited by what the family thought best and what the community approved of. We didn't go against that very much if we wanted to keep our good reputations. But I think the young married groups need to apply a better sense of values, and many of them do, to their life than they do. The next question was more or less, was there more or less trust between individuals? Well, in the business sense, I can certainly remember when deals were closed by a handshake instead of a notary seal. It was said of some people that their word was as good as their bond. And few of the merchants sent bills, but the person bought something, they were expected to pay for it. But some of them didn't, and I've known local merchants to go bankrupt on that score. So that kind of trust might not have been one word. And I was discussing with a friend today. She wanted to go to an entertainment at night, and said that she wouldn't go back into the house alone at night anymore. And we were discussing locked doors, and most of us never bothered to lock doors in Bishop for a good many years. Oh, maybe we latched the screen, but we're locking them now. And for pretty good reasons at times. So I don't know whether we have less trust in what people might do, but as far as the trust between individuals, the trust between friends, I don't think it's changed. The next question was, were people more concerned about another's welfare or happiness? A small town's always one in which there is a good deal of concern for your, you know your neighbor, you know their problems probably often, and you are going to be concerned about them. And the town as a whole has always had a very generous community spirit. They have it better organized now. They have the United Fund, and the help may get to those who need in a better way. But still, if our washwoman needs some blankets, we see that she gets them. If a neighbor is sick, well, we run over with a bowl of soup, as we've always done. Recently, there were two cases of real emergency among our people, and they set up a fund for them at the bank and handled their gifts and their help for them in a good business-like way. And people were really generous in trying to help when they saw a need for it. So I think we were pretty well concerned about their welfare. As far as their happiness, we used to, as a community, provide them more chances for recreation and things in that line than they do now. They leave that for the individuals to take care of. And the next question's almost over my head. It was, what the philosophies with regard to life, its meaning and purpose seemed prevalent. Well, philosophy as I took it, I hunted up three or four dictionary definitions before I got it through my cranium. And the one I liked was serenity and practical wisdom that comes from knowledge of general laws and principles. So, I don't know whether our basic values have changed too much in 2,000 years. We have a temptation to value freedom for its own sake, and sometimes we don't realize that the very freedoms that we think we want are really hemming us in a way. If we consider that we want the freedom to eat what we please and buy what we please, we know that we better take the consequences for that. If you overeat, you're in trouble physically and mentally. If you overbuy, you're in trouble financially and in a good many other ways too. So the freedoms that some of the youngsters are calling for are really not absence of restraint. Their orb seems to be freedoms to be themselves. I think a young person today has a much better chance of choosing their lifestyle than they did in the earlier period. A boy or girl would go ahead and try to work towards what their parents, a career that their parents selected for them. If they were on the farm, they were supposed to go on with the farm, whether they liked it or not. I know one father who was very anxious for his son to be an architect. The boy turned out to not simply not be able to sketch or draw. But he came up very happy after he took a pharmacist course, which was something he never dreamed of, but found he had an aptitude for. Another one, father determined that he should be a doctor. And he was very interested in electronics and things in that line which were just developing, which were an experiment in that period. I think he would have been very much happier in life if he'd gone on with his experiments. And today, when they have school counselors and aptitude tests and things of that kind, it gives an individual a better chance to find out what they can do, and then decide on what career they might be happiest in. In the earlier period, if I remember, if you didn't make good money at something, you were just considered more or less a failure. It wasn't. There wasn't as much consideration as there is given today in
my husband, D.D. Condren, or better known as Tiny Condren, was married in Austin, Texas, November the 18th, 1928. We moved to this South Texas years later, 1930. I was a very young bride, very little experience in homemaking. We were farmers at the time. Back then you raised most of your food, as well as cotton and grain. We had farm sharecroppers that he helped with the farming, and his wife would help me with the washing and housework. Those days you help on the farm did not eat at the same time as we did. We always started our day's work when it was just light enough to see and worked until it was dark. Our social activities consisted of on Saturday evening going to town to get groceries and supplies for the week. Saturday night having company in to play 42 or 84. Sunday, always church in the morning and sometimes singing in the afternoon. Back to church in late evening after the chores was attended to, such as milking cows, feeding chickens, gathering the eggs, and carrying the water in to the house from the hydrant in the backyard. Our bathing was done in a large wash tub. All we knew of politics at this time was from the daily papers, usually, and then Saturday evening on the little country town streets, mainly a drugstore, grocery store, and post office. We always studied on the candidates and took an active part in politics. Jury duty was a very important thing for us in those days. My husband was always interested in the law and order of our town and country. If the crops was needing plowing, or whatever, if he was called to jury duty, or if a neighbor was sick, he would work all day and take his turn of sitting up with the sick, always giving blood or whatever was needed. And then the neighbors would take in food. The patients never going to the hospital, usually, in those days. The neighbors going over to do the plowing for them or plant the crops for the sick. In the summertime, we would have a week or two of church meetings every night, sometimes having to push the car along some of the muddy roads to get there and back. All the family went together. Every time the car went out, we took our babies or the other children to teas or any kind of social. We had the women always taking care of the children and the food duties. When a neighbor needed any help or farm implements, we was always glad to go over and help them or lend them a hand. You knew they would come to our aid if we needed it. Love and affection was showed in doing and listening to others in every way. Cooking the homemade bread and goodies on a wood cook stove or an oil stove, helping in everything your mate was doing. From milking the cows if he was being the bill late, to slopping the pigs. So when he came in, he could rest a while and breathe by lamplight that I had shined the chimney so brightly. We as a family sat around the table after dinner and talked over all the family interests and problems without radio or TV, without radio or TV disturbances. Around the breakfast table, after prayer and meal, we would each outline our daily plans and consult the other members of the family. Work out our problems as best we could, always stressing to live by the golden rule. We always knew our most precious possession was our name and how we conducted ourselves in daily living. When the depression was so bad, we was caught without making very much, and what money we had was in the bank, without making such a small amount of harvest that we were waiting until all the money was in the bank and then to divide it among our creditors. The bank closed, and we had to wire our parents to send us money to even get groceries. My husband was in the law enforcement from 1940 until his death in 1964. When he was chief of police of Kingsville, he saw the drastic changes of the people beginning not to have the respect for law and order. So many people would go against the law and think it was okay for them, but it was so wrong for the other folks. Just so you was not caught doing wrong. Very disturbing to the officers that worked such long hours with very little fun and pay. By 1964, he had more than doubled the number of policemen on his force. Politics all through his years of law enforcement was a worry. That was the beginning of most of the racial problems. He seemed to be able to work well with both and all races. In conclusion, I am glad we settled in the South Texas area and educated our daughter in our great A&I college, then, now, university. Even with our hardships, I believe I am a stronger person, and I know Kingsville is a friendly place to live. I am so proud of the many accomplishments of our young people. They are so able to take over and lead in our advancement of our city and country. My support and prayers go to my God, country, and my fellow men.